Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
With whom will you be spending eternity? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On Monday, we began looking at a conference message given by 17th President Russell M. Nelson. It was a message titled, Think Celestial. And you can find it beginning on page 117 in the November 2023 edition of the Lena Hona magazine. What Mr. Nelson is going to do is talk about why Latter-day Saints should keep in mind when they live out their lives that they should be thinking celestial. Now, he has already explained that what this really means is to be spiritually minded. And what I've emphasized so far this week is that's really not all that unique. What Russell M. Nelson has done is taken a concept that has been used even within Christianity for centuries, you could say. In fact, I cited John Owen, who was from the University of Oxford, an English theologian. He died in 1683, and he wrote a book on being spiritually minded. So it's not a unique idea. It's just that Nelson has taken this idea of being spiritually minded and branded it to fit within the context of Mormonism when he uses the phrase, think celestial. A lot of Latter-day Saints were gushing over what Russell M. Nelson had to say, and I don't want to take away from an individual who thinks that he heard a very positive, informative, convicting message. Because we in our Christian circles, we often will say things about certain messages that we hear from our pastors and such. I just want to get across to our listeners that what he's really talking about using this phrase is not something that is unknown to us as New Testament Christians. Really, what you could say is that Nelson has kind of stolen the what would Jesus do concept, thinking in a way that focuses on the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of God, and such.
But we have to understand, too, Bill, that in Mormonism, thinking celestial is about how you earn God's favor to be able to receive the very best that God has. You have to qualify for the rich blessings Heavenly Father has for you, as we quoted yesterday. But that's different than what Christianity has taught, because Jesus qualifies us by forgiving us of our sins based on faith alone.
Yeah, we've often said that we are certainly saved by works. They're just not our own. They're the works of Christ. When we put our faith in what he did for us, his righteousness is imputed to us, and we are declared righteous. It doesn't mean overnight we become perfect people, because that's not going to happen. But as far as God is concerned, we are declared righteous because we have Christ's righteousness that he has given to our account. Now, in yesterday's show, we ended with this line from Russell M. Nelson, where he says that making these decisions in this lifetime will determine the kind of body with which you will be resurrected and those with whom you will live forever. Now, what does he mean by that? If you're not familiar with this idea of 3 degrees of glory, you're not going to probably catch what he means, and I think we should look into that. Now, I'm going to go to a book called Mormon Doctrine. I have the 1966 edition here, and I want to read to you what Mormon Apostle Bruce McConkie says regarding the types of people who will end up in various kingdoms. And I want to start with the lowest kingdom, being the celestial glory. This is what he says. He says on page 778 of Mormon Doctrine, most of the adult people who have lived from the day of Adam to the present time, will go to the celestial kingdom.
Well, that fulfills broad as the road to destruction. I guess Mormonism accepts most people are going to go to the celestial kingdom with that kind of attitude.
Well, then he goes on to say that the inhabitants of this lowest kingdom of glory will be, quote, as innumerable as the stars in the firmament of heaven or as the sand upon the seashore, end quote. Then he goes on to say, they will be the endless hosts of people of all ages who have lived after the manner of the world, who have been carnal, sensual, and devilish, who have chosen the vain philosophies of the world rather than accept the testimony of Jesus, who have been liars and thieves, sorcerers and adulterers, blasphemers and murderers. Their number will include, quote, all the proud. Well, wait a minute. Wouldn't that include a lot of professing Latter-day Saints? I've talked to quite a few of them that seem pretty proud of their Mormonism and pretty proud of their accomplishments. But I digress. He goes on to say, for all such have lived a telestial law, and they shall be servants of the Most High. But where God and Christ dwell, they cannot come worlds without end. So in the context of Mormonism, what they believe to be your heavenly Father really wants nothing to do with you after you are placed in this telestial kingdom. But then he goes on to talk about the terrestrial kingdom. Who ends up going there? Well, according to Bruce McConkie in his book, Mormon Doctrine, he says on page 784 that the people going to the terrestrial kingdom are, one, accountable persons who die without law, and then in parentheses he says, and who, of course, do not accept the gospel in the spirit world under those particular circumstances which would make them heirs of the celestial kingdom. Two, those who reject the gospel in this life and who reverse their course and accept it in the spirit world. In other words, when you are visited by spirit missionaries in spirit prison, if you accept the message of these spirit missionaries who tell you about Joseph Smith and the restored gospel, you get to go to the terrestrial kingdom. Well, obviously, those who go to the telestial kingdom, who are ministered to by those same types of missionaries in spirit prison, if they reject that message, then they go to the lower level. But he goes on and he says, honorable men of the earth who are blinded by the craftiness of men and who therefore do not accept and live the gospel law, and four, the fourth type of person that goes there, are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who have testimonies of Christ and the divinity of the great latter-day work and who are not valiant, but who are instead lukewarm in their devotion to the church and to righteousness. So even those who profess to be Latter-day Saints during this mortality, if they are not doing what they are supposed to be doing, they are not valiant, they are lukewarm in their devotion to the church and to righteousness, they end up in the terrestrial kingdom.
Yet how many Latter-day Saints have you met, Bill, who when you talk about the celestial and the terrestrial and which one they are more likely to go to at the end, that they won't say the celestial. They'll say, I'm probably headed to the terrestrial, which that's saying they're lukewarm. They realize, though, that they're not keeping all the commandments, which the church stresses heavily, and so they don't think they're qualified for the very best of thinking celestial.
Well, let me throw something in here, Eric, because should a Latter-day Saint say, well, I'm going to the celestial kingdom, couldn't that almost sound like an arrogant boast on their part? And wouldn't that mean that they are prideful? And according to Alma 5 in the Book of Mormon, if you're not stripped of all pride, you're not prepared to die. It seems like an awful dilemma they have when asked a question like that.
But Bill, they're looking at you when you say that you know you're going to go to heaven if you die because your sins are forgiven, and they think that you're the one that's proud.
Exactly, and that's why I've often told people, when you tell a Latter-day Saint that you have the assurance that you are saved, you need to explain why. Because you're right, Eric, they might be assuming that you're saying that you've accomplished what they have not accomplished, when we're really not saying that at all. We will freely admit we haven't done all this stuff that Latter-day Saints are required to do. But we can still rest in the fact that we have forgiveness of our sins. We still can rest in the fact that we are loved by the Father and that we will spend eternity in the presence of our Savior, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us.
Nelson continues in his talk and says, in my first message as president of the church, I encourage you to begin with the end in mind. This means making the celestial kingdom your eternal goal and then carefully considering where each of your decisions here on earth will place you in the next world.
What we gather from what he says here, Eric, I think makes it very clear. There's no assurance of where you're going to be. Now, this is why I question what he says previously in this talk, where he talks about an understanding of God's fabulous plan takes the mystery out of life and the uncertainty out of our future. Don't you think this is kind of refuted in what he just said here? Because if there's all these things that you must do, that seems to be eating away of any certainty or assurance that you may have had. And I think in the next paragraph, he really makes this clear.
And he says, the Lord has clearly taught that only men and women who are sealed as husband and wife in the temple and who keep their covenants will be together throughout the eternities. He said, and it's a citation out of D&C section 132, all covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations that are not made and entered into and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise have an end when men are dead.
Now, that has been used as an LDS definition of the word justification. But yet, when we look at all those words that are listed in that portion that Nelson cited, we would say, no, as far as being a New Testament Christian, those are things that describe our sanctification or something that we might do after we've already believed, had our sins forgiven. And now, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, now we're saved unto good works. And good works certainly are part of the Christian life, but that's a result of us already being declared righteous, not in order to be declared righteous. We don't do it to get justified. We do it because we are already justified. It's interesting that he cites that because I want to stress again, that has been used as a definition for justification by some LDS leaders.
He continues, thus, if we unwisely choose to live telestial laws now, we are choosing to be resurrected with a telestial body. We are choosing not to live with our families forever.
Now, when I read that, I mentioned to you, I said, it sounds kind of like the myth of the sword of Damocles hanging over an individual. And it's basically a threat. And here is the threat. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're making a decision not to live with your families forever. Notice he doesn't say you're choosing to maybe go to the celestial kingdom where Bruce McConkie said you won't even have Jesus. You won't be in the presence of the Father or the Son. No, he uses the word family. Now, why does he do that? I think it's because most Latter-day Saints, that's what they're looking forward to in the next life. All you need to do is ask them, what is the one thing you are looking forward to after you die? They will tell you to be with their family. I can't even remember a Latter-day Saint say, well, I want to be with Jesus. Yet that would probably be the first thing that an evangelical New Testament Christian would say. Notice, Nelson plays the hand here. We are choosing not to live with our families forever, and certainly you don't want that to happen. But I would also go on to say, this is probably why a lot of families get upset with the individual who leave the LDS faith because they have broken that family chain in the hereafter.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.